Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking to you about facial nerve palsy. And if you want to follow along with written notes on this topic, you can follow along at zerotofinals.com/facial-nerve-palsy or in the neurology section of the Zero to Finals medicine book. So let's get straight into it. Facial nerve palsy refers to an isolated dysfunction of the facial nerve. And remember, the facial nerve is what controls the muscles of the face and the muscles that control facial expressions. Having a facial nerve palsy typically presents with a unilateral facial weakness. It's important to understand some basics about the pathway of the facial nerve and the function of the facial nerve to consider the cause and management of a facial nerve palsy. But first, let's start off discussing the facial nerve pathway. And the facial nerve exits the brainstem at the cerebellopontine angle. And on its journey to the face, it passes through the temporal bone and the parotid gland on the side of the face. It then divides into five branches that supply different areas of the face. And from top to bottom, those branches are temporal, zygomatic, buccal, marginal mandibular, and cervical. Let's talk about facial nerve function. And the facial nerve has three functions: motor, sensory, and parasympathetic. The motor function supplies the muscles of facial expression, the stapedius in the inner ear, and the posterior digastric, stylohyoid, and platysma muscles in the neck. The sensory component of the facial nerve carries taste from the anterior two-thirds of the tongue, and the parasympathetic function of the facial nerve provides the parasympathetic supply to the submandibular and the sublingual salivary glands and the lacrimal glands that produce tears. So one key component to understanding facial nerve palsy is to understand the difference between an upper and a lower motor neuron lesion that's causing the facial nerve palsy. It's a very common exam task to distinguish between an upper and a lower motor neuron facial nerve palsy. And it's essential to be able to make this distinction because in a patient with a new onset upper motor neuron facial nerve palsy, you need to be referring urgently with a suspected stroke, whereas patients who have a lower motor neuron facial nerve palsy can be reassured and managed in the community. We need to start by understanding some basic physiology about the facial nerve. Each side of the forehead has an upper motor neuron innervation by both sides of the brain. So to simplify that, on the left side of the forehead, the facial nerve that supplies the left side of the forehead comes from both the right and the left side of the brain. This contrasts to the lower motor neuron innervation of the forehead, which is only from one side of the brain. This means that in an upper motor neuron lesion, the forehead will be spared, so the forehead will still be able to function, but the rest of that side of the face won't move. So if a patient has a stroke and they have a facial nerve palsy on one side of the face, that side of the face will be affected except the forehead, which will still be able to move because that side of the forehead is still getting some signals from the other side of the brain. In a lower motor neuron lesion, the forehead will not be spared, which means if you have a lower motor neuron lesion, such as a Bell's palsy on the right-hand side of the face, the whole of the right-hand side of the face will be weak and not able to move, and they won't be able to move the right side of their forehead either. So this is how you determine whether it's an upper or lower motor neuron lesion affecting the facial nerve. So what are the causes of upper motor neuron lesions? Unilateral upper motor neuron lesions can occur in cerebrovascular accidents, so basically in strokes, or in tumours. Bilateral upper motor neuron lesions are rare and they might occur in a pseudobulbar palsy or motor neuron disease. Let's talk about some of the causes of a lower motor neuron facial nerve palsy. And the first one to start with is a Bell's palsy. And this is a relatively common condition. It's idiopathic, meaning that there's no clear cause. It presents as a unilateral lower motor neuron facial nerve palsy. The majority of patients fully recover over several weeks, but recovery may take up to 12 months, and about a third of patients are left with some residual weakness on that side. As far as treatment is concerned, if patients are presenting within 72 hours of the symptoms developing, NICE guidelines recommend considering prednisolone as a treatment, either at 50 milligrams for 10 days or 60 milligrams for 5 days, followed by a 5-day reducing regime of 10 milligrams per day. Patients also require lubricating eye drops to prevent the eye on the affected side from drying out and being damaged. This is because the weakness causes the eyelids to droop, and they often can't close their eye properly, so the eye is quite exposed. If they develop pain in the eye, they need an ophthalmology review for something called exposure keratopathy, which is essentially damage to the surface of the eye as a result of being exposed too long to the elements. We can also use tape to keep the eye closed at nighttime. Next, let's talk about something called Ramsey-Hunt syndrome, which is a very popular diagnosis to come across in your exams. Ramsey-Hunt is caused by the herpes zoster virus. It presents as a unilateral lower motor neuron facial weakness. Patients stereotypically have a painful and tender vesicular rash in the ear canal, around the pinna, and around the ear itself on the affected side. This rash can extend to the anterior two-thirds of the tongue, and remember that the sensory component of the facial nerve is on the anterior two-thirds of the tongue. So you might find some of the rash there, and they can also have a rash on the hard palate at the back of the mouth. Treatment for Ramsey-Hunt syndrome should ideally be initiated within 72 hours again, and treatment is with prednisolone and an antiviral called acyclovir, and they may also require lubricating eye drops. A quick Tom tip, Ramsey-Hunt syndrome is a very popular presentation in your MCQ exams. Look out for that patient with a vesicular rash around their ear and a facial nerve palsy. If you see this in your exams, it's Ramsey-Hunt syndrome. There's a long list of all the other causes of a lower motor neuron facial nerve palsy, and they might be infectious, such as otitis media, malignant otitis externa, HIV or Lyme disease. They might be systemic disease like diabetes, sarcoidosis, leukemia, multiple sclerosis, and Guillain-Barré syndrome. They might be caused by tumors like acoustic neuromas, parotid tumors, or cholesteatomas. Or it could be caused by trauma from direct nerve trauma, damage during surgery, or base of skull fractures. So thanks for listening to this episode on facial nerve palsy. A big thank you to Harry Watchman for perfectly editing this podcast. It wouldn't be possible without his hard work and reliability. If you found this podcast helpful and you want written notes on the topic and all the other podcast episode topics, head over to Amazon and pick up a copy of the Zero to Finals Medicine book. It's got detailed and concise notes on over 10 specialties in medicine and is designed specifically to contain the key facts and guidelines you need for your medical exams. If you don't fancy picking up a copy of the book, you can find all the notes as well as videos, illustrations, and questions completely free on the Zero to Finals website at zerotofinals.com. And I hope you tune in for the next episode where we'll go through brain tumours.